Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. It is written, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. It is written, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. It is written, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. And God said unto Jacob, arise, and go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. They followed him by thousands when he took some fish and bread, and the banquet in the desert by his miracle was spread. They sang aloud, Hosanna, and they shouted, Praise his name, when in an hour of glory to Jerusalem he came. They followed when he told them of a kingdom and a throne, but when he went to Calvary, he went there all alone. It seems that many people still would follow him today if only he went to places where everything was gay. For the kingdom that they're seeking isn't the one this world scorns, and the crown of which they're singing isn't one that's made of thorns. Oh, they'll follow for the fishes over land and over sea, and they're good at church at Zion, but not at Calvary. It's so easy, friends, to follow when the nets are full of fish, when the loaves are spread before you and you're eating all you wish, where no lands, nor lots, nor houses, and no friendships are at stake, where there's no mob to mock you and you have no crop to take. Well, you'll need some faith to follow down through Gethsemane, and you'll need some love to follow to go all the way to Calvary. And now, ladies and gentlemen, back to Bethel. In the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis, God told Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel. Bethel was the place where Jacob had seen the ladder that reached from earth to heaven, the ladder where angels were ascending and descending, the place where he spent the night when fleeing from the wrath of his brother Esau. Jacob not only was running from the wrath of Esau, but also with the commission of his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, to find a wife among the right people, go up to Bethel. It is appropriate that that term is used, go up to Bethel. We are told that when the Lord comes again, that we shall go up to meet the Lord in the air. We will go up at that time. We need to think of heaven as up, and rightly so. Paul said he knew a man who was caught up into the third heaven. Jesus said to Nicodemus that no man had descended out of heaven but the Son of Man who is in heaven. Paul again says, no one shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down. In Revelation, John said he saw the holy city descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. These references are enough to point out the fact that we go up to the house of the Lord. Jacob was told, go up to Bethel. Bethel was up, not only geographically, but spiritually as well. Jacob, go up to Bethel. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many lessons that we can see in that command of the Lord to Jacob. Go up to Bethel. To go up to Bethel, for one thing, was to go up to Bethel and back to the tithe that Jacob had promised to God. When Jacob saw the vision of the latter, he made God a promise. He said, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth to thee." Back to Bethel was back to the tithe. It needs to be remembered that when Jacob made that promise, he was not wealthy. In fact, he was apparently penniless. For a pillow that night, he had used a stone. The deal he made with God was a pretty good deal, a sharp business deal. He promised God to give back 10% if the Lord would provide in return all the food he needed and all the clothes he needed and keep him safely. Ladies and gentlemen, I would say for a measly 10%, that was a pretty shrewd deal, and it worked. Jacob became a rich man. He was rich when the Lord said to him, "Arise and go up to Bethel." Concerning this deal that Jacob made with God, we need to look at what the Lord said in the last book of the Old Testament. He said, "Will a man rob God? But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." Then the Lord said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room to receive it." Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord challenges you as a Christian to prove him and see him open the windows of heaven. Some might say, could I not get the Lord to open the windows of heaven for 2%? It may be that the Lord will say, "I don't do windows for 2%. I don't do windows for 5%. I don't do windows for 9%. I only do windows for 10%. God says, "Go ahead and prove me herewith." Many have told me that when they considered giving 10%, that they did not see how they could ever afford to do it. Then after trying it, they tell me that it pays off. There is no way that 90% could be more than 100%. But ask the experienced tither and see what he says. You can't prove it mathematically, but actually 90% is more than 100%. Back to Bethel, back to the tithe, then go up again to Bethel, was to go back to the monument. When Jacob saw the ladder the first time, he took the stone that he had used for a pillow and set it up for a pillar. He poured oil on it. 30 years later, God said, "Go up to Bethel, Jacob." And so Jacob went up to Bethel, went back to the monument, and remembered how he had seen the gate of heaven. It should mean the same for us. Back to Bethel is back to the monument, the only monument that the Lord ever devised in his memory. Some years ago, I heard a former president, now deceased, make this statement on television. I never saw it in print, never heard any more about it, but the statement was made where he said, "We need to make a monument in this country to God." After all, he said, we have a monument to Washington, we have a monument to Jefferson, a monument to Lincoln. Why not make a monument to God the Almighty? Ladies and gentlemen, that sounds like a good idea. Where should we put the monument? And how high should it be? What materials should be used in the construction? How many billions of dollars would it cost? Could the country afford to make such a monument at this time? How come we have neglected this monument so long? Surely we could raise a few billion for such a monument of that much importance? Ladies and gentlemen, the actual fact of the matter is that we do have such a monument already. It was a price that was paid that could not be measured in billions. It was an idea that was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We call it the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a constant reminder of the cost of our salvation. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and arose from the dead. I wish every Christian would remember, and every backsliding Christian that has fallen away would remember the vow that was made the day so long ago that you made when you accepted the Lord, and go back to Bethel, back up to the monument. On most of the tables used to take the Lord's Supper are the words, "This do in remembrance of me." We need to remember. We need to remember every week. We need to remember, as it states for us in Acts 20 and 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, go up to Bethel, back to the monument, back to the Lord's Supper, back to the tithe, and then again, go up to Bethel, back to the name." Back to Bethel was to go back for the reaffirmation of the new name that God had given him. Actually, he had received the new name before this, when Jacob wrestled with God, with an angel, a little while before. Now the name is given again. God reaffirms the new name. "Thy name shall be Israel." Back to Bethel is back to the name. This is certainly an area that is suggestive for us. We need to get back to Bethel. Our Bethel, where we are reminded that we don't wear a denominational name, but a name given by divine direction. We are Christians and only Christians. We are not Christians plus something else or Christians minus something else. In this denominationally oriented world, we need a constant reminder that we don't need any other name to identify us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a Christian, and a Christian only. Back to Bethel, back to the name, back to the tithe, back to the monument, and then back again to the Great Commission. Go up to Bethel. It was at Bethel that God told Jacob that his seed would be as the dust of the earth, and not only as the dust of the earth, but that through his seed would all the families of the earth be blessed. To go back to Bethel would be a reminder of this promise that God had made to him. The nations of the earth have been blessed by this man's seed. It was through him that Jesus came into the world. Jesus is the greatest blessing the world has ever known. The families of the earth can only be blessed if the gospel is carried to all the world. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The church needs to be constantly reminded that the job of the church is saving souls. Sometimes people refer to this radio ministry and other television ministries or whatever as para-ministries. Ministries that are apart from the church, that help the church to get the job done. This is not the truth at all. Para-ministries, but not the real ministry? A paramedic is not a real doctor. He just helps the doctor get the job done. A paralegalist is not a lawyer. He just helps the lawyer to get the job done. If there is a para-ministry, it is not the radio program. It is not that type of ministry. The church, the ministry of the church is not singing songs. The ministry of the church is not going to gospel sings where people are entertained. That's a good spiritual entertainment, and we like to hear it sometimes, if not overdone. But it is not the job of the church. In fact, it may be a para-ministry. The work of the church is not the building of church buildings, as important as it is. It helps the church along, but it's only a para-ministry. It helps get the job done. The ministry of the church is not having a fellowship supper. That's important and needs to be encouraged, but it is only a para-ministry. What is the ministry of the church? The ministry of the church is preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. That is the ministry of the church, saving souls. There is no way that the radio program like this can be called and construed to be a para-ministry. The church needs to get with it. And remember, this is our job. So go back to Bethel and remember the commission that Jesus gave to the apostles. There ought not to be a community anywhere where you could not find a church of Christ. Back to Bethel, back to the Great Commission. Go up to Bethel. The name Bethel, again, means the house of God. Jacob built an altar, and he called the name of the place El Bethel. El Bethel means God in the house. Back to Bethel, back to the house of God. How we need to hear this today, back to the house of God. But remember, the house of God means nothing unless God is in the house. Back to El Bethel. I asked a man once how things were going at the church. He said the crowds were holding up fine, just as large as ever. And then he added, if you can call entertainment worship, we're getting along great. But the fact is, you see, if God is not in the assembly, it makes little difference how big the crowd is. If God is not in the assembly, it makes little difference whether we go up to the house of God or not. Remember what the Lord said when he left the temple the last time? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. When the Lord walks out of the house, that house is empty. Whether it be the church house or a family, that house is empty. Back to Bethel, back to the house of God, back to God in the house. Go up to Bethel is the same to say as go back, Jacob, to the ladder where you first met me. Bethel was the place where Jacob had seen the ladder that went down from earth and all the way up to heaven. Back to Bethel was to go back to the gate of heaven. When Jacob saw the ladder, he said, "This is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." It is always good to go back to the place where we found the right way and the only way to heaven. Jesus would say later that he himself was the ladder. He said, "Ye shall see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." It is always good to go back to Bethel. And remember how it was when we accepted the Lord, that day when we ascended the ladder. Remember that day when we started up the ladder. The first rung was when we heard the word of God. The second rung was when we believed. The third rung was when we repented. The fourth rung was when we were immersed for the remission of sins. Heaven is not gained by a single bound, but by climbing the ladder, round by round. Go up to Bethel. Remember how it was when you first knew the Lord. Go back to the time when you first heard the terms of pardon proclaim. Back up to Bethel, back up to the ladder. Then he said, "While you're going up, get rid of your idols." When they started back to Bethel, Jacob instructed his household to get rid of their idols and change their garments. In the 30 years that Jacob had been away, as his household began to grow, some of them had lapsed into idolatry. So he told them to get rid of those gods. This is good advice for those today who would go back to Bethel. You've got to get rid of your idols. Verse 4 states that they got rid of their gods, which they had in their hands. How can you hold your God in your hands? Not all idolatry is worship of a big image or a statue. These idols were idols they could hold in their hands. They took the idols they had in their hands and gave them to Jacob. Some of the members of Jacob's family may have handed him a pack of cigarettes. That's an idol to some that they can hold in their hands. Some handed over to him a joint. Some may have handed over to him a package of cigars. Others more than likely gave him a bottle of beer. Actually, some of these idols could not only be held in the hands, they could be sat upon. 3 chapters before this, Jacob's father-in-law, Laban, accused Jacob of running away with his gods. Jacob told him to search for his gods, and he said, "If you find any here, you can take that person with you." Jacob did not know that his beloved Rachel had the gods. She hid the gods under a pillow and sat on them. She sat on Laban's gods, and Laban could not find his gods because Rachel was sitting on them. Some today sit on their gods during the church service. When the offering is taken, they continue to sit on their God, their pocketbook. Jacob's advice needs to be needed and heeded. Give up your gods. Get rid of the idol of the horoscope. Get rid of anything that stands between you and service to the Lord and his church. Then he told them to be clean. He said, clean up your act. Some of the habits have to go if you would go back to Bethel. Clean out your fridge. Get rid of the booze. Clean up your pockets. Get rid of the weed. Clean up your act, he said, and be clean. Remember, he also said, change your garments. This may be the place where we get the impression and the expression that people have, my Sunday go to meeting clothes. He said, change your clothes if you're going up to Bethel. Be careful what you wear when you go up to the house of God. I suppose there's a spiritual significance here. Most of us are aware of our clothes when we go up to the house of the Lord. Isaiah says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And then Revelation 19 tells us that the attire of the bride of Christ is to be arrayed in fine linen, pure and white. Her linen, her white linen, is the righteous acts of the saints. We need to be conscious of our clothes. Change your garments. Jude mentions our evangelism is like pulling the sinner out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. There are many garments that we wear today that need to be hated. This, of course, in Jude refers to the burning of the leper's garment in Leviticus. The priest was to examine the leper and be careful to burn the garments worn by the leper, lest he get leprosy. He was to take the garment and burn them, lest he be contaminated. Ladies and gentlemen, there is always danger that the servant of God can be overwhelmed by association with the sinner he's trying to lead to salvation. Many a preacher has found that out. The request of Jacob needs to be heeded today by many who attend our services. Change your garments. Wear what you would be comfortable wearing if Jesus were present. Change your garments. I saw one man at the Lord's Supper one time on a Sunday evening. The pews were benches where the backs were out, and several people went forward to take the Lord's Supper who hadn't had it that morning. I saw one gent who looked a little like Esau. Remember, Esau was a hairy man and red all over. This man had on the type of jeans that fit low around the hips and low slung. He was bent over. I could see his back as I looked between the slats of the pew. What a sight. He looked like Esau. Esau was a hairy man and red all over. I thought to myself, he should have changed his garments. Then I thought again, well, at least he's taking the Lord's Supper and his backside is sanctified. Change your garments. Now this, in conclusion, Jacob told the Lord when he came to Bethel the first time that he would return. 30 years later, he came back. 30 years later had passed and he hadn't returned. He came back to Bethel. It wasn't his idea, it was the Lord's suggestion. Some of you may have made some promises also, and it may be that through this message the Lord is speaking to you. So I say to you, go up to Bethel. Go back to the ladder. Back to the house of God. Back to the monument. Back to the tithe. Back to the commission. And back to the name that is above every name in heaven and on earth. You've thought about it before. It's high time to get started. Go up to Bethel. Go up to the house of the Lord. Go up to God in the house.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. 142. Check out our website, edbozeman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.